So, with all this news about the Kumbh Mela, or Kumbh Mela, as you wish, and some are asking on our online, and we should say a few words. I can't give a comprehensive explanation of this, but like to say some things that come to mind with regard to Srila Guru Maharaj. Because his conception, if we look through the lens of his conception at everything, everything will become adjusted properly. So if we first understand what his conception is, and then everything will be seen in relation to that, then you can weigh, measure, value, assess, all of those things. Go the other way, go off track, or become confused, or hear from inauthentic sources, embrace the apocryphal. That's a good one for Ajita. Embrace the apocryphal. But so I'll tell it in this way. As our Indian friends, they have so much sanskar and sukriti. Sanskar means various things. But one of the things it means is the accumulated mental impressions over lifetimes, right? Think about that. Accumulated mental conceptual impressions over lifetimes. That's why the birth in India is special, that to spring out of that soil is not accidental, and everyone on some intuitive level has an appreciation for the spiritual culture of India. I remember someone saying to me once, "You mean then, like, a rickshaw wala is more spiritually advanced than the President of the United States?" Mm-hmm. It's possible, yes. Although the current president, he's showing some, he's giving his dandavats to Diwali and devotees, so that's good. But when we come to measure and judge spiritual things, a different type of assessment we require than what is stereotypical or obvious or superficial. How to judge what is spiritual substance. So in our preaching in America, we're preaching about Srila Guru Maharaj, but sometimes some Indian people are coming. And I remember this one gentleman and his wife, they're from South India. They would dutifully, respectfully come, hear the sound of the slokas, the scriptures, bow before the deity and such things. And devotees are always telling them, if you ever go to India, try and visit Srila Guru Maharaj at Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Math. Not thinking that would actually happen, but they're always, the devotees are always the well-wishers of everyone. And lo and behold, the time came on a family visit. Afterwards, they came to Chaitanya Saraswat Math and Navadvip for a visit. So, and I was there at the time, so I was very happy. His name was Satya Narayan. And then, oh, Satya Narayan Prabhu. Introduced him to Guru Maharaj, and Guru Maharaj, where you're coming from, and what is your hometown, and these things. So he revealed that it was like Kurmakshetra, somewhere in South India, and Guru Maharaj knew the There's a particular type of train station, they call it. I can't remember that name right now. Hill Station, something like that. He knew the stop and everything. And so he was just happy to have a little inner exchange with Srila Guru Maharaj. And somehow that Kurma Kshetra, Kurma, came to mind. And that sort of dissolved. It was in the afternoon. And I had just had the privilege of reading the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And to the last chapter also. Like I said in the beginning of this class, Babaji Maharaj, Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, one of his famous slokas. There's so many he loved. Ones of Guru Maharaj and other ones, especially slokas about the holy name. So this one, I can still hear him say, he would say, Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranasanam Pranamo Dukha Samanas Tam Namami Harim Param. That's the last sloka of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So very favorite to him because it's saying now that it's all said and done, the 18,000 slokas, what's the conclusion? Nam Sankirtanam, Sarva Papa Pranashanam, that will take away all pop, sin, and whatever can be construed to be sin. Pranamo Dukha Samana, and relieve all suffering. Tannamami Harim Param. It's very beautiful. Tavakatamritam tapta jivinam kaviviriditam kalmasa apaham. Srila Guru Maharaj tells us, say, all suffering is from separation from Krishna. All suffering. So it means, here, bhayam dhatiya binibeshitat syad, ishadapetasya viparayo smriti, on account of forgetfulness of our relationship with Krishna, we're cast into the world of anxiety, of measurement, calculation. By measurement, we go to calculation. At every point, you have to be calculating what's in your interest, who's covering your back, living in the world of mortality. At every step, something is life-threatening, right? Mortality, mrityu, janma mrityu, jara vyadi, dukadoshanu darshanam. I like this. It's from Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. He says, dukkha dosh anudar. What's the darshan of the world? He's saying, dukkha anudar. If you understand what this world, it's all full of suffering. What types? Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi. Birth, death, old age, disease. These things are inescapable. Right? No amount of, you know, collagen or whatever it is, or Cher freezing her face. Botox. Botox. Right. Thank you, the gentleman in the front row. But she now has a face that, you know, like cannot smile. It's just like a mask, you know. I mean, she has a sense of humor, so. So trying to avoid that, what did the poet Thomas Nash say? Almost 400 years ago, litany in the time of plague, means when everyone was dying in London, dropping dead from the plague. You know what plague is? Black plague, epidemic. Pandemic, I mean, it goes by different names. He wrote these lines. Beauty is but a flower, wrinkles will devour, brightness falls from the air, queens have died young and fair. Saying beauty is but a flower, beautiful flower. I see them, so many beautiful flowers, and then within one day, they start wrinkling, and then they turn into something else. I thought the flower of the beauty of the woman lasts for a few years, Now the models, they're like younger, younger, younger. And still, like, by the time a model's 22, she's like ready to retire. So that brief window of beauty. But a flower wrinkles will devour, brightness falls from the air, queens have died, both young and fair. The part I don't usually quote comes after that, where he says, I am sick, I must die, Lord have mercy. And then he goes to another sloka, another verse. So, janma mrityu jara, try to stave the ravages of age, losing proposition, sickness, mrityu, mrityu sarvaharas chaham. Krishna says, and for those who won't get it any other way, mrityu sarvaharas chaham. I am that death that takes everything away from you. Ah, brahma bhuvana loka punar avritin orjana mam upetya punar janma. Something of vidyate. From brahma loka, the topmost planet, we're told in the Bhagavatam, they live there. The average lifespan of a person on brahma loka is 15 trillion years. Think about that. 15 trillion years. And Brahma, over 300 trillion. But still, he's not immortal. So he told Hiranyakashipu, I'm not even immortal. How can I grant immortality? I'm not immortal. Then he starts calculating. Well, what about, like, insurance policy? Won't this won't happen, that won't happen. The world of calculation, kunta. Boy kunta means without, unlimited, without calculation, without anxiety, here. Limited, calculative, filled with anxiety. From Indra, the Lord of Heaven, to the Indra Gopa germ. What does it say? Yastvindra Gopa Matavendra Ahospa Karma Bandhan Urupa Palabhajan Atunoti Karmani Nirdahatikintu Jabhakti Bhajam Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So, I was surprised after 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 90 chapters, 87th chapter is so huge. Prayers of the Stavas, Veda Stuti, prayers of the personified Vedas. Then 11th canto, so much is there. Guru Maharaj is always quoting that. Very important. Uddhava Gita, his final instructions to Uddhava before leaving the world. And the Navayogendras, many beautiful, beautiful slokas, and the story of the Avadhut, the 24 gurus, the Avadhut, it's very interesting, and we're talking about that. The one Prabhupada like was Ajagara Vritti, means the method of the python. Srila Prabhupada liked to go for walks everywhere he went to maintain his health. Oh, morning walk, 1 hour, brisk, with the stick moving, like 6 a.m. And every place, so he'd always find, wherever he's staying, where's a nice park to go, and then go with the devotees. And sometimes he's preaching too. So in Caracas, or as Prabhupada would say, Caracas. like, what was that medicine Gurudev took? Criticus. Looks like Critagus, but Criticus. So Prabhupada would go for a walk in his park in Criticus. Caracas. And he's saying, they built this for their enjoyment. Right? He said, but we're also walking. And So the ajagra vritti means the method of the python. The python's just lying and food's going into its mouth. So the avadut, he's sometimes lying, and then the fruit would fall from the tree and he's eating and that style. But Prabhupada say, when they build something nice, materialist, like social networking, the internet, modern technology, they have another purpose for it. We're repurposing it for the distribution of Krishna consciousness. That is Saraswati Thakur's interpretation of Rupa Goswami's sloka, anashaktasya vishayan yutaham upayunjitaha nirbandha krishna sambandhe yukta vairagyam uchite. Yukta vairagya, not like the Nagababas who renounce even the coping, but saying if something can be used in the service of Krishna, how can you renounce that? That's Falgu Vairagya. So the beautiful girl can be used in the service of Krishna. The technology can be used in the service of Krishna. The internet, the social network, all of these things. Digital sadhu sangha. I told those Bengali reporters at the Mat, they're like saying, and they're not writing, they're like asking questions when I said, but through the internet, we have digital sadhu sangha. They went, oh, digital, acha. That they wrote down. Like, that's something we can use. That's original. So, why did I say that? Oh, the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam? So you get to the 12th canto, and it's like, very small in comparison to the other cantos. And then the last chapter, I'm hanging on every sloka thing. How is this going to end? And what are, you know, each sloka must be very significant to occupy this position, the concluding words of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Mahapurana, the Super Purana, Artoyam Brahmasutranam Bharatartha Binirnaya, Gayatri Basya Ruposho Vedartha Paribringhita. Guru Maharaj is so amazing. He's saying, it says here, Garuda Purana, Gayatri Basya, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the commentary on Gayatri. Gayatri, one line. Here, 18,000 slokas. Bharata, Maha, Gayatri, one line. Mahabharata, 100,000. It's all in Gayatri. So Guru Maharaj said very beautifully, very originally, he said, so what the proposition that lies before us is how to extract Krishna conception from the womb of Gayatri. Krishna's in the womb of Gayatri. So how to take Krishna? That's how he said it. Then he began his unparalleled explanation, Gayatri Basya, his own, the Gudartha, the hidden meaning. Gayatri Murlista Kirtana Dhanam Radha Padam Dhimahi. The flute sound of Krishna Brahma Sangitas had entered the eight ear holes of Brahma. And he went, Om, Bhur, Bhuva, Swa, etc. But what is that? Gayatri Murlista? The song of Krishna's flute, Murli. Murlista Kirtanam, Dhanam. Radha Padam Dhimahi, as Gurudev said. What does Krishna's fluting matter? About whom is Krishna fluting? Srimati Radharani, Radha Dasyam, Radha Padam Dhimahi, meditating on the lotus feet of Radharani. Her feet are not stagnant. They're moving in the plane of service. Gandharvika, Gandharva, Guru Maharaj's deity, Gandharva Govinda Sundar, she's singing and dancing to charm all attractive Krishna, to attract Krishna, to keep Krishna attracted. Right? And Rasa Leela, because really, what is Vishwanath saying? He said, you can't turn cloth white without some dye. You can't paint a white room red without some red paint. He said, prem cannot reach its fullest position without separation. Those are his examples. He said, you need some dye to turn this cloth red. You need some separation for prem to reach its fullest expression. So on the gopis were thinking, amanino, something loca, that I'm the most fortunate person in the world. When the rasa dance finally started and Krishna's dancing with him, from when they started thinking, what I think? Oh my God, Krishna is dancing with me alone. Guru Maharaj told the story when Ban Maharaj went to see Saraswati Thakur. Saraswati Thakur praising him. We hear one of his ability was he could perfectly represent Gaudiya Siddhanta, Saraswati Thakur's line of thought. Just give a talk in English, no Sanskrit. So that made him very useful for preaching. But in other ways, Saraswati Thakur was praising him, and Ban Maharaj recommended Guru Maharaj for sannyas. But he came out in the outer room, like Guru Maharaj is doing something, absorbed in some divine concepts. And Ban Maharaj said, oh, Prabhupada was saying this about me, and Prabhupada was saying that. He was sharing his good fortune that Saraswati Thakur was praising him. And he's telling other devotees, and Guru Maharaj quoted this sloka, amanyo, something looking. And Ban Maharaj is like, what was that? What did he say? And the other, they're going like, the ones who know Sanskrit, they're laughing. What? What did he say? And he said, each gopi thought that Krishna was dancing with her and her alone, and thought herself the most fortunate person in the world. That shows you also Guru Maharaj's sense of humor. He can extract from like the 10th canto, the Panchadhyay, 5 chapters of the Rasa Leela, some sloka, to use that in a humorous and instructive way. What do they call it? A teaching moment? So, and Radharani seeing them, their egos flaring, she has her own man. And that's when she does the superior singing and dancing that cancels and leaves in a huff. Like pragalbham, haughty. But it's all arranged by Yogamaya. Because it's very peculiar, as we're thinking, the Rasa Leela began, and then like, it appears to have hardly started and begun full swing, and then already, she leaves, Krishna leaves, and they're cast in an open ocean of separation. And then this is very critical. Krishna wants the prem, their love, to be in its extreme height, level of expression. It's not there yet. The separation, that's why Chakrabarti Thakur quotes that, and he quotes Bharat Muni, giver of Rasa Shastra, which Rupa Goswami used as a vehicle for Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So it's all contrived to the heart, as Guru Maharaj said, the heart under the when you put pressure on affection, when it's like when you put pressure on the heart's affection, what sort of substance will come out? So all of this is contrived to take them to a deeper level, the depths of separation. The heart achieves a greater depth in separation than in union. So anyway, so why did I say that? Because about the 12th canto? Oh. Yes, that I know. But anyway, so I was thinking about the significance of these slokas that are there. So I came upon this sloka. It's about the Kurma avatar. It begins, Prishte Brahmyada Manda Mandana Giri Gravagya Kandu Yanam Nidralo Kamatakrite. And we know this pastime is so beautiful, so enchanting and wonderful, but I couldn't understand why is it there? That pastime, it's the pastime of the Kurma avatar, where the devas and the asuras are churning on the back of Kurmadev, the Mandara mountain, in the ocean of milk, generating all sorts of divine substances and beings, as well as the famous Kalakuta, poison. And that had just happened in the eighth canto, or it appeared earlier in the eighth canto. I'm wondering, why is that being referenced again? As we'll see in Charitamritam, Kaviraj Goswami, he summarizes what he's described when he reaches the end of Madhyalila, Antyalila. But here, this didn't appear to be a summary. So why is it there? What is the significance? And we hear that it's on this subject of mrityu. I was saying separation from Krishna is the cause of all suffering. That was the point. Right. And the relief are the topics of Krishna. Katha, Krishna Katha. Saraswati Thakur said, this you have to understand, where he said, Hari Krishna Katha Durbika. Said, I don't recognize except that there's a shortage of anything in the world except topics of Krishna, talking about Krishna. There's no shortage of anything. It's all contrived. The only shortage there is of Krishna topics. And that relieves the suffering of all souls, whether it be the soul suffering and the illusion, conditioned souls, or the suffering of the Brajagopis in the advanced state due to separation from Krishna. So these demigods and demons, they were advised by Krishna, Vishnu, he told, be diplomatic with them. He said, because now the devas are not in a good position, so because the demons are strong, placate them, negotiate with them, and they make a truce and decide they'll have a joint venture, like Deva Asura Incorporated. They'll have a joint venture to get Amrita, which means nectar, right? But think of it this way. Mrityu, as we said, Janma Mrityu. Mrityu means death. So Amrita means deathless. So Amrita nectar, it means the nectar of immortality. Because both the demigods and the demons, as we said previously, they know they have to die. Both will. Right. So they go on this venture together to the ocean of milk, and there they take the Mandara mountain with them. There's so many details. They're carrying the mountain, they drop it at one point, kill some demigods. And then they go, this thing is too heavy to carry. Then Krishna comes, glances at the dead devatas, they come back to life, and then he helps them out. Then they put the Mandara hill in the ocean, they're trying, but it needs something. It's not working properly. So we tell, oh no, Garuda, that's right, when they dropped it, the Lord came on Garuda, glanced over the dead devatas, brought them back to life, and then Garuda, he just picked it up and put it on Garuda's back. For Garuda, it was nothing. Then he flies in, drops it off in the ocean of milk, and the Lord says, Garuda, Prabhu, very nice what you've done. He said, but if you can take your leave now, because they need Vasuki, the serpent, it's the year of the snake. They need Vasuki to come, and that's Garuda's favorite treat. So they need Garuda to leave the scene, otherwise Vasuki won't come. Like Gurudev used to tell, he'd said one, what did he say, joking sloka. He liked this sloka where, we've seen this picture, you see Vishnu lying on Sheshananta, and then there's Lakshmi Devi massaging his feet, Saraswati is on the side, Garuda is there. It's a very famous poster in India, but sometimes Gurudev would say it, why is Jagannath Pugal, or here, why is Vishnu Pugal, you know, insane, because in the picture we see Saraswati, she's the goddess of speech, right? He said, she's always talking and never stops talking. And then Lakshmi Devi, one of her names is Chanchala. I mean, she's very fickle. Right? But she's always at the Lord's feet, but fickle in this world. And he said, Garuda is looking at Ananta Shesh, the snakes, and thinking, oh, if I get the opportunity. So Garuda, they bring Vasuki, but it's not working, the churning. And this is interesting too, because when Srila Acharya Maharaj, to fulfill the divine wish of Srila Guru Maharaj and Srila Gurudev for a temple in Govindakunda, and where Mahaprabhu could engage in divine sporting pastimes, they were having trouble establishing a foundation for the temple. And everyone was an architect, had different ideas how to do this. And nothing's working. And the devotees, they're all covered in mud. They're trying, they can't get the water to go, and you need that to put, they've drained the whole kund, but they can't get the last section. And it's starting to look hopeless. And then Gurudev gave the order, recalling the sloka, Prishte Brahm Yadamanda Mandara Giri Gravagya Kanduyanan. He said, offer some nice sweet rice to Varaha Dev, Lakshmi Varaha, on the altar, the shalagram on the altar at Chaitanya Saraswat Mat, and chant this mantra, told the archak. You chant, offer the nice sweet rice and chant this mantra to Lucky Varaha and Lakshmi Varaha. And then mysteriously it happened. Like the miracle, actually. It's very mystical power of Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami Maharaj. That's how he got the foundation. Everyone's calculating. Well, you have to do the... Gurudev left the world of calculation and went deep into the upper world and said, this is how, this is the only way there will be a foundation. And after that, so that temple was built upon this sloka. And you can think in, by extension, built upon the Kurma avatar. So then what, so because they're having trouble churning, then the Lord appears as Kurma. And he has an itch on his back. Because people wonder what are the pastimes of divinity. They're always projecting some something on the basis of their limited experience of the limited. But here we see, although he's omnipotent, all-powerful, he can't scratch. He's a tortoise, so obviously he can't scratch his own back. That's his play, his leela, divine pastimes. So they put the Mandar mountain on his back and wrap Vasuki around the mountain. On one side you have the asuras and the devas, and they start churning, and that's bringing some relief to Kurmadev. So while he's experiencing the relief, he's like, he's breathing in and out, and he's getting sleepy, and he's being lulled into a nice, sweet, dreamy sleep, and his breathing is coming in a very regulated way. We're told that breathing is the breathing, is the Vedas, right? And what do? They regulate the activities of everyone's lives so that souls can march from the, out of the world of nescience towards Vaikuntha. So, and it's mentioned in this sloka that still to this day, the oceans, when we hear the ocean waves going in and out, that is echoing the breathing of the Kurma avatar. So it means if we go to the ocean and hear that sound, we're thinking of different ways that we can meditate on Krishna, we can think that, oh, that's the same rhythm and sound of that Kurmadev was making when the Mandara Hill was rotating on his back. So, and at that time, we're told, Lakshmi Devi comes out of the ocean, and not finding a suitable husband, she only accepts the Lord himself. And who is it? Uchayasrava, divine horse, and Airavata, Indra's elephant. The moon is generated from there. Right? And that reminds me of another place where it's mentioned that about Krishna appearing in the Yadu dynasty. It said they couldn't understand. They thought he was just one of them, like the fish thought the moon that was produced from the ocean was one of them. Anyway, so many divine things, but also some poison was produced because like the churning, it's separating into the nectar and the poisonous aspects are being removed. So what kind of poison? It's called Kalatuta. Very extreme. We're told cobras, snakes, they all took a little bit of that poison. That's their type of poison. Cobras, snakes, venomous serpents, scorpions, etc. But everyone feared that this poison would ruin them. So Shiva was invited to drink the poison because he's so kind to everyone. He's the savior of all the fallen souls, and they offer so many prayers to Mahadev, and he agrees to come. By his divine power, all the ocean of poisons reduced to like a little few drops in his palm. He takes that, drinks it, and what's the outcome is Nilkanta, his neck turns blue. And now, at last, they have Amrita, the nectar of immortality. And Dhanvantari comes, you can say the father of Ayurveda, and he got a kumbha, a pot with this nectar, and the demons steal that. They're supposed to share it. It's supposed to be a joint project, devas and asuras, demigods, and they're taking that, and what's the part about Rahu? Does anyone remember? Rahu's in the group, but somehow, huh?
He took the nectar.
Yes.
He actually
drank it, but only up to here.
But chakra cut.
Right, that chopped his head, so his head lived, became immortal. But so the devas are in a difficult position, the demon has stole it, then what does the Lord do? He appears as Mohini Murti to bewilder everyone. So, as legend would have it, some drops from the pot dropped in four different places in India, Alab Prayag, which is the confluence of the Jamuna, Saraswati, and Ganga, and Nasik, Ujjain, and some other place. Nasik I've been to. But so they're going all to this day. Look, 30 million people are there going to bathe, trying to escape mortality. Right? That's the idea. But that's not Guru Maharaj's idea. Guru Maharaj's idea is never just escape negative influence. But Rupa Goswami says this when he's qualifying, what is pure devotion? Salokya sarshti samipya. The devotee, they're not interested. He's quoting Kapila from the third canto of the Bhagavatam. They're not interested in all these different types of so-called liberation. They want seva. They want to serve. Mukti arhit vanyata rupam swarupena vivastiti. So I asked Guru Maharaj, and he said, I don't understand why this sloka is referencing that pastime. It's the concluding section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the end of the 12th canto. It's the last chapter. I don't see the connection. And I could say this. Normally, in the morning, we're having the more detailed philosophical talks with Guru Maharaj. In the afternoon, it was a little lighter. And Guru Maharaj, he didn't answer me immediately. He started like thinking, and I thought, oh, I'm taxing his brain. So I started, because he was quiet for some time, and I started saying, Maharaj, you don't have to, answer the, but he started his answer. He cut me off and started explaining. He said, what was their purpose? What was the object? What was the purpose of all of this? And this is classic Guru Maharaj. He's saying, they're trying to find the ultimate nectarine substance. Right? Why does this pastime appear in the Srimad Bhagavatam? And why is it again being referenced here at the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam? Because the Srimad Bhagavatam is presenting the ultimate nectarine substance. What is that? Madhura rasa, that's the ultimate nectar. Right? Not just to live forever. Real life means service. Radha Dasyam, as Guru Maharaj says in his sloka, Yadamiya Mahima Sri Bhagavatyam Katayam Pratipatam Anubhutam Apyalab Davideya Tadakila Rasamurti Shyama Lila Avalambam Madhura Rasadi Sri Radha Padam Padmam Prapadye. Saying, although her name isn't mentioned in the Bhagavatam, still, every step, every sloka, every story, everything's meant to take you in one direction, which is the service of her holy lotus feet. The one who left the Rasalila that canceled everyone else. Anaya Radita Nunam Bhagawan Harir Ishwara Yanno Vihaya Govinda. I forget that. Anyway, Anaya Aradita. Sukadev can't even vibrate her name. Sanatana Goswami says, if he vibrates her name, it will ignite a fire of separation in his heart that will he won't be able to function. He'll lose all composure. He can't even vibrate the holy name of Srimati Radharani. So instead he says, an encrypted way, Anaya Aradita, Aradita, the one who worshiped Krishna the best. How? By offering herself, body, mind, soul, heart and soul, as an offering to Krishna. Madhura, Shyama Lila Avalambam, the whole Madhura Rasa pastimes are dependent upon her. Janmadyasya yataha, everything is springing from that plane. So what they wanted, Guru Maharaj said, the reason this sloka is being mentioned again is to say, this is the ultimate amrita, this is the ultimate nectar, this is the ultimate substance, and this is the conclusion of the Srimad Bhagavatam with Nigama Kapaturo Galitam Palam Shukamukharam Ritradavasham Yatam Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muhuraho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavukaha. The Prayojan Tattva Slok, third sloka of Srimad Bhagavatam, saying, what is this fruit? Triya Veda, Vedanta the flower, Krishna Prem, Prema Pumarto Mahan, Vishwanath, encapsulating Mahaprabhu's Krishna conception. Is it? Aradhya Bhagavan Brajesha Tanayas Taddama Brindavanam Ramya Kachid Brajabadu Bargainaja Kalpita. This word Kalpita is interesting. It can mean imagined, or can Guru Maharaj sometimes says invented. He said there's no superior method of worship than the method invented by the Braja Gopis. They invented this. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. This is the purest, the highest. It's not Kaivalyam, it's not mixed with anything. That's the meaning of Kaivalya, according to Saraswati Thakur, Guru Maharaj Jiva Goswami. Nothing mixed in it. Pure, unadulterated spiritual substance. What Narada told Vyas, you have to give it pure, pure, the purest spiritual substance, the creme de la creme of all nectarine substance. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumarto Mahan means Dharma Artha Kama Moksha. Prem, the fifth, the ultimate goal of life. Prem, love, divine love. Everybody wants love. Atheist, agnostic, theist. Right? Krishna Prem is love. Love is Krishna Prem. Srimad Bhagavatam, Prema Pumarta Mahan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam Tatrapi. Napura. This is Mahaprabhu's thinking, decision, conclusion. Radha Govinda Militva. Radha and Krishna combined with Mahaprabhu. Namo Mahavaranaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tushayi Nama. Anarpita Charim Chirad Korne Avatirna Kalo Samar Payatam Anutodrala Rasam Svabhakti Sriyam. Narayana Purak Sarve Nakutaschana Bibhuti Swargapavarg Narakeshu Tulyarta Darshina. Devotees, they're not concerned whether in a heavenly condition, a hellish condition. They want seva, service. Guru Maharaj and Gurudev like to tell the devotee who they send the Vaikuntha chariot descends to him. They're saying, oh, you've served your Gurudev so nicely and served Guru, Vaishnava, everything. Now we sent the Vaikuntha chariot to take you to the spiritual world. And he's saying, I don't have time for that. I'm serving my Guru. I don't have time for any Vaikuntha chariot. That's a devotee. The Braja Gopis are ready to accept eternal hell in service to Krishna. Nothing about elevation and svarg and mukti. Ahushchate nalina naba padara bindam yogeshware hridivichinta magada bodhe sangsara kupa patito taranavalambam gehum jishamapi manasi suryat sadana. They say, we're fallen people, householders. We're not yogis or jnanis. We just want family life with you. That's what they want. But Radharani, we're talking about fleeting beauty. She says, my friends tell me, be patient. Krishna will at last be merciful to you. And she says, who will live that long? And Krishna, he's only interested in beautiful girls. And we'll wait so long. We won't be beautiful then anymore. And Krishna won't be interested in us. Hare Krishna. I like Radharani's porous pot better. When Krishna is sick and you know, he's like senseless, and Yashoda is so worried. And then Krishna assumes the form, assumes the disguise of a doctor, a mystic physician, and comes and examines Krishna and says to Yashoda, I think I know the cure for this. What is it? What is it? It needs some Jamuna water. That's it? Yes. Oh, but one other thing, that it has to be collected by a chaste woman. Well, then we'll get one other thing. The pot has to be full of holes. So a chaste woman with a pot full of holes will get some Jamuna water. That will cure him. That'll save his life. And Yasoda went mad. And she's thinking, Radharani's mother-in-law and sister-in-law are always gossiping about others. Whether or not they're chaste, faithful, always they're like that. So they're supposed to have the most spotless reputation. You can see how naughty Krishna is. He's lost his senses, right? And then appears as the mystic. He's going to humiliate one group and exalt someone else. So Yashoda is saying, well, those two, they must be the two most chaste women in Vrindavan, because they're always questioning the chastity of others. So she approaches them, and they're thinking, this is madness. Pot with holes in it, we're going to look like. But Yashoda is so intense, and in her own madness, she convinces them, no, this is the only thing, the physician said this, that will save my son. How mothers can be to pretend. And so they agree. And everyone's watching, and they go get the, and all the water, and they go, dee dee ho. Mother-in-law, sister-in-law. And they go back, and the suggestion comes for Radharani. And this is Vrindavan. There's some rumors about Radharani and Krishna. So they're thinking. And they go to Radharani, and she's telling her sakis, her friends, that only if Krishna will help me. This is so impossible. But Yasoda's mad, thinking Krishna is going to leave the world. She has to be enlisted. So with her sakis and friends, they all go following Radharani. And Radharani goes into the water, and she's praying to Krishna. And she puts the porous pot in the water and lifts it up. And not one drop of water falls from that pot. I like the pot where no drops fall. Krishna wanted to show who's really chaste, who's given up everything for him, even her reputation as a chaste woman. The supremely chaste Srimati Radharani. Yari gorna hoita tabiki hoita kemani doritam dehe Radhar mahima prema rasasima jagata janata ke. Interesting, it's not saying that Krishna descended to Mahaprabhu to tell everyone how great Krishna is. He did that too. He's talking to Sanatana Goswami and Sanatana Shiksha. He means to give these spiritual instructions, which he does, but then he starts praising Krishna and goes mad for a long time. And then after a while, he realizes what happened. But saying Radhar Mahima, he wants the world to know how great Radharani is. And prema rasasima, and how great her love is, the Krishna prema. And that's the Bhagavatam, the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So fortunately, there's Avadhut Maharaj and crew. They're carrying the real nectar. All Avadhut Maharaj and his devotees, and Gopal is there cooking the prasadam of Srila Gurudev. So if anyone will come in connection with them, they'll be really fortunate. Mahananda Prabhu is there. Hare Krishna. 잠시 보내요.